Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Nati.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Fantastic, man. Cannot complain. All is good. All is good. I hope you had a good day.
Yes, yeah. As much as I could.
As much as you could. Fantastic. Great to hear that. Now, we are talking with you from Weaving Reeds, and you're talking today about spiritualism. Yes. And you're talking to this subject from a parenting point of view, I imagine. Please tell us, what is spiritualism in your view?
Well, spiritualism stems from, in its raw definition, it stems from the idea of connecting with the dead.
Okay.
And that idea is an idea, as you say, from a parent perspective, something that you see also being seen in programming, children's programming that is secular, whereby animation is showing connections with the dead. And this is something that's very much in our cultures as Africans and even Europeans, in fact, globally. It's something that you find alive and well. And
All right, right. Now, Nati, tell me, from your point of view as a Weaving Reeds, what is the problem situation here regarding this?
Yeah, you see, I think, first of all, it's very important for us to look at what type of media our children get exposed to.
Okay.
And what type of friends they get to associate with, especially when they get to an older age, but also when they're young, because these things happen very subtle. Right now, I would say a lot of us the terms around spiritualism are not taboo to us, because they are all around us. And probably we have been associated with them, even though we may not believe in them. But to hear them being spoken, and even sometimes when someone that we know who is not of our faith might be going through something, if you're not careful, you might find yourself trying to comfort them according to this idea, you see. So for me, the root cause or the problem in our day is it starts with media and spills out to friends. And yeah, this is an issue that is you cannot close children away from it, but you can educate them about it.
What would be your typical example of this?
I grew up in a household whereby my father was very much on two sides.
Okay.
When it suited him, he was Adventist. When it suited him, he was into spiritualism.
Okay.
And what I learned from that was the power of prayer from my mother's side. A woman of prayer who stood by her beliefs, and children will only be inspired by the example that is right. You cannot just say it to them. You must show it to them. You must show them how to overcome these issues, because the kind of environment where I found myself in is that, you know, people who believe in witchcraft existed, and they also try to bewitch in their own ways. And sometime in the future, because you are relying on God, you find this person comes to you and tells you what they've been attempting. And they tell you that surely you must be with God, because all that they've tried did not work. So life of prayer, as Ellen White says in one of her writings, that she fears being in the household where prayer or where the presence of Jesus is not appreciated, because you never know what can go on in that house. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Nati. Now, I'd like to now let's get into it. How do because television is there and the programs are there, and you know it's not always Christian content that comes through. Sometimes it's just a lovely movie which is properly age rated, and it comes through. And you, of course, some of these things then come through the television. Should we just take them off television completely? Or what should happen?
I think as much as possible, we should take them off television. Mm. But we know that they're probably going to find it somewhere.
Mm.
And so it's very important to fortify their minds, to tell them that, you know, these things are out there, but to speak of them from the Bible point of view, to show them the examples where they happen in the Bible and what's going on. That for me has been one thing in my own childhood that has helped me a lot. Because sometimes it is the denial of these things that causes children in the future to actually think that they found something unique. When one denies these things and then the child grows up and finds something out there and they feel, wow, I found this amazing thing, and they don't really know what it is, they think they found gold. But if they are aware of what is going on out there and who is behind these things, then they can be better equipped, because these things often come from an emotional side of things. They often come also from a fortune side of things. You know, so it's very important for us to not shield the children in a manner that causes them to be oblivious of what is out there. But as much as possible, we should shield them from the things that would basically cause them to be vulnerable.
These children would also be children of school going age. So they go to school, much as it's ideal that they go to Christian schools, Seventh-day Adventist schools owned and run by. However, it is not always possible to take them through those. And they get to school and some of these things are taught at school. Not only would they hear it from their peers, some curriculum somewhere is going to include this. How do we then deal with that? They come back home and say, "Daddy, but the teacher said."
It's a very tough one. And I've never had the privilege personally of growing in an Adventist school. But I've grown in an Adventist home. And I've seen exactly what you're saying. And it's really hard because one must study the character of their child. One must understand if their child is easily swayed by the wind. And by the wind, I'm meaning friends or teachers. I think it's important to teach our children to have independent thinking. In other words, to question what they are being taught. And it's a principle also that will help them to excel and better understand whatever subject matter they are being taught. That is the one thing I find very valuable, so that they do not become regurgitators of other men's thoughts. It's very important for us to find ways to help them think and question, so that they can analyze for themselves that this thing is really not so. But of course, at that tender age, more work for the parent to really,
Now, there could also be extended family members, that uncle that the child loves so much, that aunt that the child is so fond of. And sometimes they would want to visit there, you know, because they've got cousins there, etc. Because it's not only at school, but it's also found at times with the extended family members, because I do imagine that all families would have those people who are not necessarily of the same faith. Do we then prevent them from visiting extended family?
I don't think we should prevent them from visiting extended family, but we should also understand how or what kind of characters our extended family are of. Because in some instances, you may have to prevent a child maybe sleeping over, for example, but visiting maybe for the day while you're there is not really an issue, or just temporarily for a short time. But I think it would be very important, firstly, to understand if the people you're taking your child to are deliberately looking to maybe put the child into those things, because then I think it wouldn't be wise to basically serve your child to a lion which is hungry. So one must exercise that caution, and sometimes it may seem like the parent would be overly protective, but rather you be a little bit overly protective, but also allow the child to understand the world, because soon they will be free, and you don't want that when they are free, they feel like they can just go and be wild.
Yeah, I've got a comment here coming on the line, and I think it will resonate with what you said earlier when you said, some Adventists would be speaking about certain things because they hear it so often in their surroundings. And the comment says, this is when you hear Adventists speaking about karma as if we actually know what that is.
Exactly. Things like that. Because, I mean, the whole issue of spiritualism, when you look at it, what most people might not understand, and it's right there in Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5, is that it's not just about the dead not really dying according to the gospel of the devil, but it is also about the idea of becoming God. Because, this idea of karma, who does this karma and all these things? Because people believe that when a person dies, suddenly they are powerful. But they died weak.
True. It's so fashionable these days, spiritualism. I think African people are believing that it's an age of awakening, and going back to our roots, as it were, and things that we have been robbed of by Christianity, etc., etc. And these, by the way, could take a mind that is not grounded, like our children, for instance, who are not really grounded. At what point do we start having these conversations with our little ones?
I think as soon as we notice their awareness of the world, as soon as that spark of intelligence comes into play and they start questioning things in life, but as early as possible, in as subtle a manner as possible, because we also need to understand their minds where they are. But one of the things I've always said in my mind when I looked into this topic is that as Africans, we think we have a monopoly of this idea of spiritualism in our culture. But if you look around the world, and let's look at the European world, it is equally spiritualistic. It's just that in this day and age, they are more on the atheistic mindset. But if you look at where they come from, there's a lot of spiritualism. To this day, if you go to the UK, you can actually be government sponsored to study witchcraft.
Ooh.
You see? So things of such a nature, we need to understand that it is not an awakening, but rather going back to darkness.
Right. And but before I let you go, Nati, what would be your word to the parents who are listening?
Yeah, what I would encourage is that feed the children, use God's method, feed the children with Bible stories, make them excited about learning about God's word, and also finding church matters interesting. Make it interesting. They will also look at us and say, you know what, this is interesting. My dad, my mom, when they teach me this, I find it valuable. Make it a culture in the home. Make it a joyous thing looking forward to the Sabbath. You know, there must be memories for that child when they grow up and look back and say, wow, you know, Friday evening when the sunset comes and the Sabbath opens, the singing, make it a joyous thing. Because that's one of the things, you know, that stay in people's minds when it comes to culture, the things that made them remember those fond memories about what, why they associate themselves as a particular group. So it's very important for us to fortify the minds of our children by making it a joyous thing.
Well, beautiful, beautiful. I understand you have an episode that is coming up. When is the next episode? And is this the topic?
My wife and the other crew are dealing with that part. Yeah. So I'm not fully aware of the details of the next episode.
Ah, I see. Yes. All right, no, that's fine. But we do understand that every Friday the new episode comes up. So Weaving Reeds does that. Well, Nati, I must thank you so much for the time, man. Absolutely very, very important topic. And I think one that is also sensitive because it could go either way if it's not checked properly. And I'm glad that you guys have taken time to actually look at this particular extremely important topic. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.